Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is TFAQ, True Faith, Any Questions, our bi-monthly, I think that's right, show that we do where you ask us the questions, our patrons put their questions to us, we sit here and answer them to the best of our abilities. If you like this show, please do consider joining us on Patreon for £6.60 a month. If you're listening on Patreon, what a great choice you've made for yourself. I love that for you. We're going to try and get through some of these questions. We'll just keep cracking. I'm joined tonight by Alex Hayes and Emil Franchi to go through these. So thanks to everybody who asked. Once again, absolutely loads of questions. We're going to do our very best. We'll do our best to be succinct and get through them. So I'll start at the very beginning because I think that's, you know, that's a good shout. The Carl Fraser asked, do we think the lack of movement on the director of football or CEO front has seriously hampered our ability to act decisively in the transfer market? Alex, I'll come to you on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. If it didn't hamper those efforts, why would you have one? It is a concern to me, though I understand the mess that the new owners inherited, and also the desire to get the best person doesn't mean making a quick decision. You know, the sacked Lee Charnley, I think that was a popular decision. Who's in charge at the club? You know, I don't know that the man of Staveley and Murdad Kadusi, live in Newcastle and work from St. James's Park. So who's in charge at the club? We don't know. This window is incredibly difficult, but it looks like a mess from the outside looking in. It was probably always going to be a mess, but... Would Newcastle United be stronger with a world-class CEO and director of football in place for this transfer window? Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. And I would also add, you know, I don't think that's the reason the transfer window has been a bit of a mess. I think there's a few reasons, one being January's hard. But I totally agree with you, Alex. I think if we had a bit more high-level senior structure in place, we might have had more success. Can't say for sure, but I think so. Okay, Jordan Scott, a break from the transfer window, so that is quite nice actually. Jordan, we're doing another transfer show this weekend that'll be out. Adam will be running that this weekend, so that'll be out for you patrons. So if you're desperate, if you heard me say a break from transfer and you thought no, that we'll be scratching that itch. The question is, thoughts on ground development, short to long term, work within the limits of SJP or move to a new site later on, longer term? It's a good question. A lot of people are asking this about where will we move now that we're going to be a global mega power in the footballing world. Should we move sites? Should we have an 80,000 capacity stadium? How do we do that? Emil, what do you think?
I think that they are going to lay the foundations on the trip to Saudi Arabia. What we don't realise is that Newcastle is getting fully relocated and they're doing it without us.
Brick by brick. So
yeah, exactly.
About to Riyadh.
A full rebuild. Commute
for us.
like a new series of Alvina Zane Pet, wouldn't it? Oh, we're going to move St. James's Park. This, to be honest, this is the last thing on my list of what needs doing since the takeover happened. We've seen St. James's Park get cleaned up a bit, which is nice. Capacity, yeah, okay. I think that the fact that it's now harder to get tickets is probably going to lump more pressure on this kind of thing. I like where St. James's Park is. Every away fan who comes up, you know, says how great it is to have the stadium directly next to the city centre. There's that special feeling of seeing it when you enter the stratosphere of Newcastle upon Tyne, and always exciting to see it as you walk up the hill. If they can extend it and do the Gallagher little bit extra on that side, I think that would be nice to make it look almost akin to Celtic Park, because they've got the similar smaller stand like the East. There's that weird thing where we can apparently rotate it, but to be honest, just thinking about that on Barrack Road is a nightmare. There's no way the City Council would allow it. And obviously there is the Leisure's Park idea. Now, that for me would be all right. That would probably be as far as I would go, but to take it out of the city centre would be, you know, they'd have to have the right plan.
I think that you would lose a lot by relocating from St. James's Park. So it's what benefit would you get from that relocation? I want as many people as possible to be able to watch Newcastle United in the flesh, because it's a special experience, and I don't like the fact that there's some people who want to go can't go because of capacity. We're fucking shit and we're still selling out every single game. So the fact that there is so much potential means we will need a bigger ground. But like you say, Emil, it's kind of, it's almost a balancing act between the potentially extravagant cost of redeveloping quite severely St. James's Park and having to have reduced capacity for a while, to moving somewhere else in the city. It's a great conversation. We'll probably do kind of full podcasts on this one over the summer, I would imagine, on Patreon. So Patreon. Great question. Yeah, great question.
Definitely get a bit of safe standing in first, I think. Get a bit of safe standing in. That'd be nice.
Yeah, there's a laundry list, isn't there, of things we want the club to be doing. It is a question. It's a big question, but maybe it's not the most primary question right now. Matt Spurs or Spores. Sorry, Matt, I've butchered your name. Sorry in advance for the pessimistic questions. That's all right, Matt. We deal with Simon very regularly on the podcast, so we're used to that. Do you think relegation would have any effect on PIF's desire to continue their ownership of the club? Well, it's not as cut and dry as that, is it? Because, like, it might. You might be like, oh, I wish I'd not bought this. But then they would have to offload it. They are the owners. So, and I also think PIF are, you know, I think that the people who bought the club are deeply competitive people. And if we are relegated, I think that is not in their plan, but that will just strengthen the desire to sort of come back up, compete, and show people what they can do. I don't think Alex has just written to me saying he has nothing to add here. That's how I know that I'm doing well, when Alex is like nothing to add. So I might move us on, even just my voice that one.
Charlotte, where did he say that? I can't see that at all. What are you making things up?
Shut up. Okay. He did say it. It's fine. Okay. Let's see. Okay. This is a big question from Brian Mulhall, longtime question asker and patron, who is asking the question that people are starting to whisper a little bit, I think, which is to say, as painful as it is, Saturday was the day I accepted we are down. Too much to do, and we don't have the players or the mentality to get out of this mess. Question is, do you stick with Howe, and what sort of recruitment do you make for the championship? Similar to last time, or do you look for younger players and try to rebuild from the ground up? So that is assuming, Alex, I'm going to come to you first, and then Emil, if you have anything to add, I will drop you in as well. That's assuming we are going down. I suppose the question presupposes that you think that. I guess this weekend really will make or break that in your head. How would you approach it?
If we do get relegated, I don't think, I've answered this before on this show, that it depends on the manner in terms of Howe's future. So in terms of building from the bottom up young players aren't great for the championship. One or two might do well, but what you need is like hard, fast bastards. Like Watford against us last week just looks so physically strong and big. And you're like, oh yeah, they were in the championship last year. And young players don't really fit in at that. Now you can, you know, young players can thrive, but you're talking like one or two in a side rather than a team full of them. I don't think you build anything in the championship apart from a team to gain promotion. I'm not thrown in the towel yet. I'm severely concerned, and me and Norman recorded a long podcast this week on Patreon about our views on Eddie Howe and his future and the emergence of Rafa Benitez. But I'm certainly not going to assume we're relegated, regardless of what happens this weekend, really. But like Brian says, it's every must-win game that goes by unwon. Like, there has to be some consequences to that. It's not a consequence-free game that we play. You know, points and wins move you up the table. And, you know, I think the movements and the conversations we're seeing in the transfer market this week are very much the owners aren't thrown in the towel regardless of these. They're going to splash massive cash, I think, in these last 9 days of this window. So, you know, it's a good question, but maybe one will revisit Charlotte in a later TFAQ if indeed it does look like that's more likely to happen.
I was just going to add as well, there's a lot of people saying, oh, start buying for the championship now. I think that they're going to be there in the summer. I think that the PIF are still going to want to get us back up because, in a way, you know, if they want to see a team win, where does it matter where Newcastle are in either league for the new owners? Because if we do go down, then they're going to see a lot of wins. And as we saw, you know, that the first time Newcastle won against Burnley, PIF don't know who Burnley are, let's be honest. No offence to Burnley fans, if you happen to be listening. But ultimately, you know, they were happy with that. There was a win. Okay, right. So, like, each week, imagine if Newcastle absolutely bossed the championship going with that positive wave. That's cool. The other thing, yeah, like I was saying, Chris Wood, people are saying he works either way. Trippier looks like he's going to stay because there's no clause in there. I think they're working really hard to not have relegation clauses in there so that whichever way it goes, we're going to have a solid team that bosses that league better than the time we went down with Houghton and Rafa.
Yes. Well, I still haven't given up hope. So I hope that you guys have. Well, Brian has, but maybe some of our listeners haven't. So, Alex, you mentioned the State of Play podcast that you had recorded with Norman this week, which is obviously brilliant. And you mentioned this question. So for those, because this is going out for free, people may not have listened to that. How Jack says, how many more winless games does Howe get before Rafa is brought back? And then Tim Bozeval, ooh, Tim, I'm sorry, said, should we draft in Rafa? As I just want to lump these two together because I think that they work well together as questions. Should we draft in Rafa as a consultant to shore up the existing defence, given there's little success so far with buying centre-backs? I mean, can't see Rafa wanting to be a consultant personally. He's too much of a tactician. But Alex, what do you think? Do you think he's going to get brought back? How did you, can you pre-see what you and Norman kind of said this week?
Yeah, well, the next three are massive, aren't they, for Eddie Howe? You look at Leeds, 15th in the league, haven't beat anyone in the league above 11th place all season, one of the lowest wage bills in the league. Then they've got Everton and Villa, who are far more expensively put together sides, but also have got many problems, both sides. You know, Steven Gerrard was a lot of Newcastle fans' pick for this job. He's ended up at Aston Villa. Those three games, if he doesn't win any of those three games, he'd get sacked. I'm almost convinced of it because with the assumed investment in this window, you don't, let's say Newcastle spend, what have they spent already? About £40 million. Let's say they spend £80 to £100 million in this window. You don't just then not win any of the next fixtures and be like, oh, that's fine. You go and get Rafa Benitez because of that link that he has to the club and the owners. And yeah, I agree with you that Rafa Benitez is a football obsessive. So any of this director of football stuff, he needs to be on the training ground. He's got to be working. He's got to be tinkering. You know, kind of, he likes strategy and building a football club, and he wanted to build Newcastle United when he was here. I'm like, to me, I just hope Eddie Howe wins tomorrow. Like,
yeah.
I've just written our special for, you know, the free match day newsletter that we do that people can sign up for. Head to the True Faith site and put your email in on the right-hand side, saying, like, Eddie Howe, there's been much promise in many of the games, but if that promise goes unfulfilled in these next three, I've no doubt. And he'd accept that. To come in and not win any of his first 14 games, or sorry, to win one of the first 14, it's not good enough. We're not there yet, though.
Tim also asked, at what point does Eddie Howe become Eddie Why? Which I don't think we have to answer, but I liked a lot. Emil, I assume you don't have too much to add to that one, so I'm going to move us on. And the question here, which I think is an interesting one, because this is any questions, it doesn't have to just be about what's going on right now, although this sort of half is. If you had the choice, this is from Jonathan Brownsell, if you had the choice, who would you have? an in-form Ben Arfa in his peak or an in-form ASM? It's a good question lots of parallels to draw between Ben Arfa and ASM, loads of them in their game. Emil, straight off the bat, what would you say before you explain it?
ASM.
Alex? Sorry.
It's a really good question and it's hard. I'd go for Hatem, Ben Arfa.
I think I lean towards Hatem, but
enter the debate.
Emil, let's hear your justification.
Thing is, in form, Hatem did turn up, but you know, you do tend to get, I don't know, it's really hard, this one. Apparently he had a really good game because he's just joined Lille. Maybe he needs to have a word with Sven Botman and just say how great it is in Newcastle.
Package deal.
You get Hatem over, you know. Imagine Lille, they'd be absolutely fuming. He's just got there and then another one wants to leave. I only say ASM based on that classic thing about attitude. I still think that ASM has got a slightly better work ethic. I know that we're seeing so many parallels, but I don't know. I think that Hatem Ben Arfa,
The thing is, Emil, what I would say to you is I don't even look at the characteristics and performance of the players in terms of attributes because they're both so strong at what they do, which is going past defenders and creating opportunities for the team. ASM has only played for a shit Newcastle, whereas Ben Arfa did it for the best version of Ashley's Newcastle and Newcastle's best league finish since, 2004. I think that has to count for a lot. And if you look, you know, ASM scored some excellent goals for Newcastle, but the quality of some of Ben Arfa's goals has been, in terms of like outside of the box and all that kind of stuff. I just feel that when Ben Arfa played for Newcastle United, I thought we could beat anyone. If he was playing on form, doesn't matter who you're playing, we'll beat them. I don't quite feel the same about ASM yet.
I'm just annoyed at Hatem. I'm just annoyed he threw it away. I just wish he hadn't, because it could have been so much better.
Adele writes songs that you could sing to Hatem Ben Arfa, but for now we'll move on. Jonathan Hand have had a follow-up question, which I will bring up while we're kind of on ASM. I'd also like to touch back on what I asked if we've seen the best of ASM on a previous questions pod. What's your opinion on this now? It all hinges on what Alex said. He plays in a crap Newcastle team. So I think this is the best we're going to see right now. I think he still needs more discipline to his game. But Alex, what do you think? Do you think we've seen the best of him? Do you think there's more to come?
I hope there's more to come. You know, he's still relatively young. What is he, under 26? So
I think he's 24.
Yes, he's 24. So he's still relatively young. I think one of the main criticisms of ASM, or not, it's not even a criticism of him, but it's a criticism of how good he is in the overall context of the league, that if he was that good, he wouldn't be playing for us still before the takeover.
That's a great point.
And therefore you have to assume other clubs, top six, top eight, even top 10 clubs have thought 40 million. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really great point. We are in a transfer window. There has been no murmurs of him being poached. So that's something to consider. All right, we're going to take a very short break for some of our sponsors to say their thing. If you don't like adverts, if you just really passionately dislike adverts, you can join us on Patreon at £6.60 per month. You get 5 to 7, you know, depending on how productive we're feeling, podcasts per week about this insane club that we all support. And if not, we'll be back very shortly.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to part two of True Faith Any Questions, TFAQ, our fortnightly show where our patrons ask us the questions. This week, we are putting it out for free for you guys who aren't patrons to listen to what we do. Let's crack on. We have still so many questions to get through. Where to go? There are lots of questions about sacking Eddie Howe and at what point do we sack Eddie Howe? We've kind of gone over that, so I will skim them. And Michael Rutherford wants to know, this is a very good question, and people are I'm hearing this at the match, I'm hearing this after the match. What position does Joe Willock ideally play? Michael goes on to say, I don't think it exists in modern football, which is really, really galvanizing given he's part of our squad in this modern footballing age, but great. His success last season was running forward, not often with the ball, and arriving late into the box like Lampard. It worked well last season when the plan was literally sit back and counter with no structured build-up play, such as the style Eddie Howe is trying to implement. We all agree Bruce's system wasn't going to bring long-term success. How many Premier League teams have a player like Willock from last season? Not many. He goes on in that, but I think it's a very interesting question. And Alex, I'll come to you, and then maybe Emil, you can add to it as well. Does he fit? I suppose the broader question is, does he fit into what's going on right now with our squad? And if not, what's the answer? Fix him.
Yes, I think he fits into Eddie Howe's 4-3-3 with three central midfielders. But no, I don't think you can play Joe Linton and Joe Willock in the same central midfield. I feel pretty strongly that I don't buy into the Joe Linton stuff in midfield. Although, you know, it's nice that you can control the ball in his own half and move past players and find the pass in his kind of his own 45. But I don't think he's the answer in central midfield. We need much better. He's not the only one in central midfield we need better for. But I think at the minute, Joe Linton is getting a game ahead of Willock. Last season, Joe did all his good work, like the question says, in a midfield three with a lot of freedom to almost kind of not be restricted by having to provide any defensive cover, but allowed to get into the box and support the forward players. And, you know, we played 5-3-2 under Bruce towards the end. Arsenal played him basically across the three of a 4-2-3-1. And, it, you know, they got rid of him. He didn't fit it. I'm a bit concerned in general about this formation under Howe. Could be proved wrong at Leeds tomorrow. Hope I am proved wrong at Leeds tomorrow. But I think, you know, Willock played really well alongside Jonjo Shelvey in part of a 4-2-3-1 against Burnley. Howe, in this first few fixtures, thought he played as a midfield two. He really struggled against Leicester and Man City in that position. But I don't want to write...
Sorry, yeah. I'm so sorry. But they have such different styles of play. Against Burnley, a team that doesn't want the ball, and there's an old team. Like, it's so different to a Leicester or a Man City, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Howell's made a massive mistake not playing him against Cambridge in a 4-3-3, just to have a look. He hasn't played a midfield three for Newcastle yet this season, I don't think. And that's a massive shame, and I thought Cambridge was the perfect opportunity. Listen, he came on against Cambridge and was shite, just like all his teammates at that point in the game. But I would play him myself in this team. I would start him tomorrow in that three, but I don't think Howe will.
Okay, well, you guys can listen to our preview and people will talk about the formation, I hope. I haven't listened yet. Emil, what do you have anything that you want to add to that, or shall I move on? No, shaking his head. I'm going to move on. Islington Dave says, organic local sourced butcher's meat pies at Palace. Fancy Tottenham paints, I'm going to say pints, with magnets filling up from the bottom. What is your favourite away concourse and why? This is a great question. I love it. All the different grounds across the UK. Emil, you've recently started going to away games, right?
Yeah, I have.
So of the ones you've been to so far, which one has been the most palatable?
Well, I'll talk you through a few of mine. Stoke's terrible, just to say. Okay. I lived in Stoke at the time. It was midweek. They didn't have the bar open. They wouldn't open it for away fans. There's nowhere to drink around the ground. It's terrible. Yeah, it's sponsored by Pedigree as well. Sponsored by dog food. I like Palace because it was old. I know it was a bit rammed in there, and it was very much height of COVID, but there was a real party atmosphere, and I enjoyed the fact that it was next to a row of houses. Leicester and Brighton, pretty
what's
similar.
Your favorite?
What's
your favorite, though?
Yeah, which is your favorite? You've got to pick one.
Which is your favorite?
I wanted to build up to Brighton. Brighton being the best one so far. Brighton was nice.
Why is Brighton your favorite?
I've run out of time.
You haven't. Go on.
I like the fact that they thanked you for coming on the toilet signs. I thought that was really nice touch. And they kept the bar open afterwards Kept the bar open afterwards.
Go on, Alex. What's yours?
I hate concourses, so my favourite was Rotherham in the Championship where they don't have one. They had, like, outside the stadium, they had, like, a food thing built into the brick, and then you went through the turnstile, like, into the seats. I enjoyed that.
Oh, that's good. Why do you hate concourses?
Well, it's just because I'm of an age where I don't want to kind of get drunk before games and stand around high and beer. Not against it, just saying, been there, done that too many times. Just want to get in my seat. And there's sometimes when you get in and you're just like, right, there's 4,000 people between me and my seat. How am I going to get there? without trampling on someone? I think anyone listening to this who was at Barnsley and also Burnley, big shout out for like dangerously narrow concourses.
I hate Burnley with a fiery passion of 1,000 suns.
Yeah.
I hate it. Okay, cool. Anthony Pastore says, crazy thought, but hear me out. Joe Linton was garbage under Bruce, is mint under Howe. Hendrick was garbage under Bruce. Could he be mint under Howe? I think that's what he says. He's left it blank. I'm filling it in for him. Maybe he can have a new manager revival too. Do you think Jeff... No, Emil's shaking his head.
But a quick answer for this one. I'll tell you it quickly. No.
We just don't think. I just can't see it myself either. Jeff Hendrick having a revival.
Like Eddie Howe can't make him run. He can't run.
Yeah.
Right. Squad. Sorry, Jeff.
Amazing, isn't it, that he's a Premier League footballer and he can't really run? Just fantastic. All right. This is a question about our squad, about who. We need some churn in the squad generally, but Magnus, long-term listener and follower of us, what do we think will happen if we do go down? Who will leave? Who will stay? Will Eddie Howe stay in charge? Well, the Eddie Howe question, I think, is a very strong no. I don't think he will. Will the owners continue to back the club? We've kind of answered that one earlier on. They have to. No one else is going to. But who do you think would leave and stay if we went down into the Championship in terms of on the pitch? Alex and then Emil.
Who would leave and who would stay? I think it would depend on the manager. In which terms of who was here, you'd think that the players who were here last time in the Championship would be moved on regardless of what division we're in, because they've just been here so long and underperformed for so long. I don't think we could take that losing mentality into the Championship. Players just used to getting beat every week in a Newcastle United shirt. It's a lot of kind of who would take a lot of these players as well. You know, is anyone going to want Jondra Shelvey in 80 grand a week? How attractive is Jamal Lascelles on 60 grand a week? Probably not for anyone. And as a Championship club having to abide by fair play regulations in the Championship, you can't just pay these players off. So it may be a case of just like trying to offload players desperately before even looking at bringing anyone in.
Emil?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've got the new lads. I know that Trippier said that he's here for the long run, so that would be interesting to see how quickly.
I wonder how true that is. Yeah.
I know. That's the one that interests me. I think he will stay because I think that he's... The problem is it's the World Cup, isn't it? That is what's the looming thing. Wilson as well. Does Wilson want to go and play for a Premier League team now that we know that he is very capable of doing a good job for a team that comes up? Maybe Bournemouth want him back if they go up. Fulham might be looking for a striker because Mitrovic will start getting a few suitors.
I just can't see him joining an, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. I just can't see him joining a Premier League team now at his sort of age and injury record.
Joined us.
Yeah, that's true. We're a different kettle of fish.
Championship team in the Premier League, aren't we?
Anyway, go on, sorry.
That's the ones. You always look for your players that attract the most interest. Would Dubravka stay? I'm not sure. Maybe he would go to a European team. I don't know. It just depends, really, because it all links to like the PIF. I mean, hopefully they stay. I'm scared every time we talk about it, even though we had that question before.
I mean, it took them long enough to buy the club. I don't think they're going anywhere.
I know. I'm just yeah. Don't worry. Impossible question. Impossible question
impossible
to answer.
Question,
really,
it's true. Let's move on to another one then. John Paul Morrow, another long time listener, long time question asker. That doesn't roll off the tongue. Says, with the welcome reintroduction of former players from our glory years, would you look to give any of them a more active role at the club? If so, who and what role? I reckon Schürrle is still stealing a living off us and could be replaced, for example. That's so harsh on Schürrle.
Well, I want Les Ferdinand to work in the corporate section as a chef.
Yeah, I'd love it.
I want him to serve people's carveries. That'd be nice.
Why?
Just it'd be funny, wouldn't it? Just like a different guest footballer each week, you know, we'll trim your beef.
I totally thought I'd miss something and he's like famous on TikTok now for like cooking.
No.
He's director of football at QPR, so be quite a step down.
Well, like, okay.
You have to pay a lot for that.
Anton Ferdinand then. Let's get a different Ferdinand.
Well, I think there's obvious sort of ambassadorial roles for like Kevin Keegan and Alan Shearer that I would assume are in the works, but maybe are not. I don't know. They haven't happened yet. Alex, who else from our glory is? Is there anyone more obscure you would pluck out and give some kind of role to?
I think, when we sign players, particularly players from abroad, and they need someone to show them the area, they need to, you know, integrate them into English life, schools. If we brought back Killer Kill Klein to help them decorate at home, if anyone saw that interview on nufc.co.uk of his mad house,
yes.
then that would be a real, like, you know, focus the mind. Buy a nice house. I'm sure Killer's house is lovely, fantastic. But I just feel it would be like a real like eye opener for those new players to this country to be like, is this how English people live? Does everyone have a witch doll?
Well, firstly, I'm going to pause you there because Brian Killer Kilcline is not an English person.
Oh, is he not?
Is he not Scottish? Or does he just live in Scotland?
He's pretty English when I met him.
Oh, maybe he just lives in Scotland.
Yeah, he's got like a West Country accent, I think, as far as
my... Oh, yeah, you're right. He lives in Scotland. I'm confusing myself. Yeah. Anyway, okay, this is how English people live, but in Scotland. You all have to live in Scotland and commute over the border. love it. I think it would frighten people away. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie about that. His house was terrifying. There's so many crazy dolls in it. Honestly, listener, if you haven't seen that article in...
It's incredible.
On nufc.co.uk, it is so good. The
article's great. It's not just the photos. The article.
The article is great as well. You get a real feel for the man. Emil?
He's at the stadium a lot as well, isn't he? He was with Warren Barton the other day. You know, just to go back to my point about Chef, I take it back about Les Ferdinand. It would have to be Laurent Robert, because if anyone follows him on Instagram, his Instagram story, it is like the lavish of the lavish experience. He
loves
lobster.
A cigar.
He's got a cigar on the go. Every single Friday, he's popping a champagne bottle. He's just living the life. He does a barbecue every week.
Like, he's got to run the corporate, doesn't he?
Oh, man, it is so good. It would be great to have him in there. And, like, just imagine him, like, dishing out cigars after a win.
No, you know, like Lauren's, quite like that image.
Lauren's got his like box open, and there he goes. It's just like, right, 3-0 at home to Everton on a Tuesday. Lauren comes around with the cigars, and everyone's got that. And Eddie Howe comes and joins him. I think Lauren would just be a great, like, he could take the players around. No disrespect to Justin Lockwood, but he would be great to have a chat to after the game, just to be like, oh, what did you think of the result? And then, yeah.
We all love a French accent. I was going to say, just off the back of that, probably David Ginola, but not to do anything but sit next to me at the match. Is that a role? Can we make him do that?
All French contingent coming back.
Okay, there's another question. This is, so it was confirmed today, we're recording on Friday, it was confirmed today that our team is post-Leeds gonna jet off to Saudi Arabia and do some training, maybe play a friendly there. They're not confirmed to be meeting the owners, but they might. And so Shane Mawson says, with the possible trip to Saudi, now it's a definite trip to Saudi. God, that's a tongue twister. Do you think PIF will sanction a big marquee signing before the trip so that to have there to meet with likely new sponsors? I mean, I'd love to think that, but now we're only a few days away. What do you think, Alex?
I don't think that PIF would sign someone for that reason. I think that this is their club and they are, you know, they're putting the money into this. They just want the team to be not terrible. I think that's way more important in terms of like signings and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think so. And I don't think they'd do that.
Okay. Emil?
I heard today in the news that Eddie Howe's denied that it's anything to do with the new owners, which I thought was like quite a bold statement. It's like, surely, Eddie, like you're not fooling anyone. The fact that Saudi Arabia have got a large involvement in us.
Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia.
PIF. He says it's nothing to do with the owners, but I mean, if that was the case, why didn't we go to Saudi Arabia the last time?
Yeah, it's like, oh, you guys are from here? It's like, and here's a reference I'm sure most of our listeners will have. It's like in Legally Blonde when she sees her ex at college and it's like, oh, you go here too. Yep, that's a reference everybody will recognize. Let me have a look. A lot of the questions are not samey, but I think we're covering them because our answers are so meaty. So I think we've probably got another couple. ABB wanted to make the point that regarding the fans having a formal voice at the club, we appear to be just as unrepresented now as before. Do you think this could change? And do you agree that the club would actually benefit from having a regular official discussion with fan representatives? Well, two of the people on this podcast here are on the Trust Board, which will always fight for fan representation at board level in any club, not just Newcastle United. It's so important to listen to the fans, the people that are actually making you this money, and the people that bring the atmosphere and spend their lives following these clubs. I think it is, you know, the comment we appear to be just as unrepresented now as before is reasonably true, but that's, we've only taken over in October and there's been a lot of work to do. So I think, you know, some patience has to be had. I would like, even if it's not the Trust, but I would hope it's the Trust because we're such a large body of paying members with a democratically elected board, and I think that says a lot. I would like to see fans consulted. I'm sure that is in there. You know, they've made all the right noises about things like that. So I would like to see fans consulted and represented at board level or involved in major decisions at the club, particularly ones that affect fans, like day to day stuff. So that's sort of where I stand on that, Alex. You probably don't have much to add, I would imagine, because my answer was so good.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is we have to give the owners some time because it's like, you know, we've just got to get this transfer window right. So I think everyone at all levels in terms of support or engagement is just giving them that time. It has to come and it should come and I believe it will come, but it's all about January and not getting relegated.
This is it. We've got to focus on this window and where we are in the league right now and then everything else can come after. All right, I think this may be the last one. Another Anthony Pastore. Crazy thought, but is anyone else getting Michael Owen vibes from players who might only be motivated by a larger payday? Dembele, Lingard, Carlos, etc. And possibly prefer younger domestic prospects who can be grown at Newcastle. Maybe being relegated could be best in terms of our long-term future. One thing I will say is that younger domestic prospects that can be grown at Newcastle are not, it's not an either or to me. So why, like, I know that we need to work on this window on getting some established Premier League experienced players, but there's nothing to stop us also going out and building out our academy, bringing in younger youth players and starting to grow them too. Alex, what do you think?
No, I don't agree. I think
Michael Owen,
with the point about Michael Owen and some of the new signings. I think that Michael Owen went from Real Madrid to Newcastle United, even in 2005. That was a major step down. It just simply was. We aren't signing players from any clubs of that caliber. So a lot of the players we're trying to sign, even if they're in clubs that are in the Champions League, like Trippier or going after Botman, moving to the Premier League is not the same as going from a super club to Newcastle United. And I think a lot of the players who they want to sign, know what the task at hand is, and it's to survive relegation, and they'll be judged on that and that alone in terms of the success to the team. When Michael Owen came, what Michael Owen would say is that his goals to game ratio was actually very good for Newcastle United, and that's his defence. And he might not be wrong in terms of that output when he played, but ultimately the club didn't achieve anything while he was here, and it went backwards. And that's the biggest issue, that he cost so much money, put so little effort in, and the club went so far backwards. I don't think you'll see that with any of these players that are coming in.
I agree with that. Let me reword the question ever so slightly and put it to you, Emil. Do you think that I suppose there's this sort of question about inflated costs and inflated wages. That's got to play a part in this, right? Do you think we are being exploited? I was asked the question today, for example, do I think we are victims of the rich club's tax? Do I think things are inflated because people perceive us now to be so wealthy? What do you think to that? And it's not really the question, but I'm interested in your perspective.
I think exploit's a strong word, but it's clear to see what's going on in this window. They're experiencing a very tough window. It was a highly publicised takeover. There was no secret about how rich we were going to be. Everyone was quick to show that pie chart about how much richer we are than Man City. It's lovely to look at, but then everyone's like, oh, well, right, well, we can charge them whatever, can't we? Put those prices higher. It's a headache for us right now. It wouldn't feel as harsh if it weren't for the position we are in the league. If it wasn't for that, then everyone would be like, all right, we'll just get the next one, we'll move on from that one. But it's the desperation that's coming in, and it's very much like, they're really putting the prices high, just pay it.
Yeah,
and that's adding to the anxiety around this entire window for fans and the owners, I imagine.
Okay, last one. It is the last one. It's a quick fire. You don't have to give me your justification. I just want a name. This was Islington Dave. If you could swap Eddie Howe for any other manager in the bottom 10, which manager would it be? He says and why, but I'm not giving you the why. Alex.
Thomas Frank.
Okay. Emil.
I need to check who's in the bottom 10.
I know. Until last week, I would have said Everton.
Steve Gerrard.
All right, there you go. Love to hear your responses. Patrons, please do use the comment function. Non-patrons, do consider joining us. You can comment. We've got Facebook group. We all chat with each other. It's £6.60 a month, and you won't hear any adverts. If you are not a patron and you just want to engage, do tweet us at TFNUFC and tell us who you would take, if not either of those. Thanks so much for listening. Take care, everybody, and we'll be back with all of our usual weekend content from Leeds.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.